Gillard government is busy today promoting and defending its latest round of spending cuts aimed at delivering the long-promised budget surplus in this current financial year, despite a deterioration in the global outlook and the tax receipts. And after 7:30, we'll be joined by Finance Minister Penny Wong. The opposition says the mid-year update released yesterday is another round of, quote, fiscal fiddling to help get this government out of a budget jam, with businesses and households paying the price for Labor's inability to balance the books. Shadow Treasurer Jo Hockey joins us now from our Melbourne studios. Jo Hockey, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Jo Hockey, delivering a surplus this financial year will require something like a $47 billion turnaround, one of the biggest fiscal corrections we've ever seen. Now, if the polls stay as they are, you could be Treasurer this time next year. Are you happy that Labor's doing all the heavy lifting?
Well, they're not doing the heavy lifting because of the $47 billion turnaround. More than $30 billion is actually increased taxes. And there's another $7 billion that comes from things like special dividends out of Medibank Private, where for the average policyholder, it's an extra $250 being taken out of Medibank Private by the government, and $500 million out of the Reserve Bank, $200 million out of Australia Post. So
would you prefer the government not do that and instead cut spending more, penalise?
Yes, that's right. They've got to cut spending. Absolutely. For example, we said that the school kids bonus was wasteful. And yet the government didn't believe us. They wouldn't accept that. And we said there would not be the revenue there from the mining tax that the government was budgeting. And they laughed at us and they scoffed at us. Now they've revised down the mining tax again. So as Ken Henry, the architect of the original mining tax, says, it's hardly worth the effort. Well, it's damn right it's not worth the effort. It's actually creating some sovereign risk across Australia, and it's an insidious tax.
So you can't argue, though, that the global economic outlook is having an effect on our budget situation. Commodity prices have plummeted, and the government is responding to that. If you think the government should have cut more, you'd be supporting then cuts to the baby bonus, the paring back of the private health insurance rebate, cuts to higher education research?
Well, we don't support blanket cuts because the government has determined that's the way they're going to do it. I mean, part of the deceit from the government has been Wayne Swan's claim this isn't going to affect lower-income people. There are a million Australians earning $24,000 or less that have private health insurance. I don't see that as middle class. And they're overwhelmingly people that are trying to pay their way in their older years. The changes to the baby bonus are not means-tested changes, they're just blanket changes. So no matter how poor your household is, there's going to be a reduction in the payment. So frankly, I think this suggestion that it is about middle-class welfare is actually inaccurate because they are widespread cuts. But
they're also
deferrals, Fran, and this is the thing. For example, the government says it's not cutting trade training centres, which, by the way, we said we'd abolish. They're not cutting trade training centres. They're just rephasing, realigning it, and that's $304 million. So they're not actually cutting in some circumstances.
Okay, but just trying to get to the heart of this then. I mean, you're the one who earlier this year gave a speech declaring the age of entitlement is over, suggesting a coalition government would look at cutting some welfare, some entitlements. Let me ask you again, given that speech, given that sentiment, and given the pressure on the budget, will you support changes announced by the Treasury yesterday, cuts to the baby bonus, the paring back of the private health insurance rebate when they come into the Parliament?
Well, we have always supported the private health insurance rebate. We have always supported it because it is an incentive for people to invest far more than the rebate in their own private health cover.
It's a very costly program.
To lump that in as an entitlement.
Do you support it, holus bolus, to never touch that?
No, Fran, you know, to be in a position where you say you want to cut back entitlements, Tony Abbott and I said we will not keep the school kids bonus. That is an example. When the government started handing out cash, and some people out there were cheering about it, we said this is something we cannot support and we will repeal it. Now, that is an example of entitlement, where instead of it being a directed payment to compensate, and the people have to show receipts associated with school. The government, in a political year, just says, OK, we're just going to send out checks to people, whether they want them or not.
What about the cut to
what
about the change that would require businesses to pay their company tax in monthly, not quarterly instalments? You're critical of that. Is that a change you'd reverse in government?
Well, we're still yet to find out what the impact of this is. We've been speaking to the business
community. We've been really critical of it.
Well, understandably, Fran, everyone has, because no one knew it was coming. I mean, the government's had a Henry review into taxation. It's had a whole lot of tax hand-holding summits. It has a business tax working group, which meets regularly now to identify changes to business tax. Not once has the government raised this anywhere that anyone can find. This has come out of the blue, and it is going to affect cash flow. It is going to affect the capital costs of business, and it's not just the impact on them, it's the impact on shareholders. And I'd say to you, Fran, if you and I were asked to pay 14 months of mortgage repayments by our banks instead of 12 months, it would affect us. Well, it is going to affect business in Australia.
The fact is, the Commonwealth has had to write down more than $160 billion in revenue since the start of the GFC. That is a massive adjustment to make.
It's a meaningless figure, Fran. It is. Seriously, if we go back to before the Asian financial crisis, then the Howard government would have had to write off hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue. If we go back to pre-depression...
But we've been through this before. You cannot compare the GFC in scale and the impact of that and the deterioration globally.
At what point in time are you going to say, these are the numbers we're dealt with? That is a meaningless figure that Labor keeps rolling out, because we are 5 years away from the global financial crisis. Australia has been blessed because of our minerals and resources and the state of the budget inherited from the coalition by Labor. So I do not cop that Wayne Swan is going to keep using this as an excuse. He frames a new budget every year. The new budget has new assumptions every year. Each of the last 2 years, Fran, I have said that the expectations about the terms of trade are heroic. I get criticised in my budget in reply speech when I say the government has been overly optimistic about the state of revenue. And then people criticise me, and then what does Wayne Swan do? He revises it down. So last year, instead of having a forecast $22 billion deficit, the government had a $44 billion deficit.
Okay,
If the
forecasts are heroic, and that's been your view, and I think it's still your view, the government, I think there's a slight change of language suggesting that, you know, it won't necessarily keep cutting if the global outlook keeps deteriorating. It may be prepared to give up the surplus eventually. It hasn't said that outright. But if that was the position the government came to because of the deterioration of the global outlook, would you support that decision?
Well, the government's got to stop making unfunded promises. This is the problem. They're trying to appease everyone. They've made $120 billion in new promises on Gonski for education reform. And last night, Peter Garrett on Q&A said the same. We're absolutely committed to Gonski. That's $6 billion a year. The National Disability Insurance Scheme, a great concept. But what does the government do? It raises expectations and it puts no money towards it other than $1 billion, which is nothing compared to the $8 billion to $10 billion a year it's going to cost.
Yes, but this is the role of government to look forward and look at major reforms, isn't it?
No. It's not. Yeah, but it's making promises it cannot deliver. And this is the problem. They're building monuments to their own government without actually finding a way to pay for it. Okay. And now, when they can't pay for it, they put together a hodgepodge document like yesterday, fiddle with the numbers and try and reassure everyone that, look, it's all going to be fine. Don't look here. There's a train crash here. Just move on. I mean, it does leave me sleepless if I'm to become the Treasurer at the next election, if that's what the Australian people decide. I keep thinking to myself, this mob is just making life harder and harder every day.
Joe Hockey, we'll leave it there.
The mountain's bigger and bigger.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Shadow Treasurer Joe Hockey joining us from our Melbourne studios.